Our text for this morning's message is from that Old Testament reading that we read just a few moments ago. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give ear to you. Give ear, give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Dear friends in Christ. You know, it's kind of hard to hear with fruit stuck in your ears, right? I know you're asking yourself, all right, Pastor, how do you know that? When was the last time you had fruit stuck in your ears? How did the fruit get stuck in your ears? What happened? What were you doing with fruit in your ears? I imagine, of course, that you've never stuck fruit in your ears, but I assure you that it's there. And it's stuck. And it's kind of hard to hear with fruit stuck in your ears. The Bible actually tells us exactly what kind of fruit it is. Humankind has had fruit in there for a long time. The serpent says to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So she actually stopped up her ears with that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that she couldn't quite hear God's word. Because he had said, you can eat of any tree, the fruit of any tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Instead, what she heard was, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. As if God were arrogant and needs to keep you and me in subjection and in servitude. So she gave some to her husband, and he stuffed fruit in his ears too. The snake's suggestion slipped in like an earworm out of the apple. And it settled in to command their consciousness like a captive audience. That's why, down to this very day, we, their descendants, still like to ask one another, did God really say this? Of course, you can see it in Isaiah. Look at the Israelites with all the fruit stuck in their ears. Full vines and branches were spouting out of their ears. Why else would Isaiah need to repeat himself for 66 chapters? And the other 15 prophets that are recorded in the Old Testament over and over and over again for hundreds of years. But of course, since folks are kind of slow to hear, the Holy Spirit made sure that they would write it down. So we have our text. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. Now, a lot of people haven't understood or haven't realized that the conversation is over. Scripture hasn't changed since the book of Revelation was written. But there's still lots and lots of voices out there that say, did God really say? Did God really say, called me from the womb? Did God really say that he knitted me together in my mother's womb? Did God really say that we were created in his own image? No. He probably meant my body, my choice, a private medical decision. Or, as soon as the baby forms memory, whenever the baby reaches viability, don't you think? Because we sure do like this fruit that we have called self-expression. The fruit that's known as the sexual revolution really, it tastes very sweet. We just can't get enough of this fruit that's called comfort and control. Did God really say a light for the nations? I mean, he says it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Maybe he means a light for most of the nations, or a light for some of the nations, or maybe a light for the nations that are properly identified or properly defined. Maybe it's just a light for those who can communicate, who don't cost us too much, or who manage their own hygiene and nutrition. Perhaps he means a nation not including those who are considered terminal or categorized as persistent vegetative states. Because we've already got the fruits of convenience and vanity shoved right through our ear holes, deep into our minds. We've already filled every available space in our consciousness with the fruits of indulgence and luxury. We've already jammed our heads all these millennia up with the fruits of accumulating and uniformity. Well, it seems like the fruits made its way into our veins. In fact, you could say it's slowly choking out our hearts. Did God really say, I will be glorified? Or that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth? Did God really say, no one has power to retain the Spirit or power over the day of death? You see, what we hear is we can use death as a solution for difficulty and stress. What makes more sense to our fruit-stuffed ears and minds and hearts is don't legislate my morality. And you keep your religion to yourself. That's what we hear over and over again. What we prefer, of course, is as long as you're not hurting anyone, do whatever comes naturally, whatever makes you happy. What we want to hear is, of course, subject, of course, to opinions about dignity and quality and whose dignity and whose quality we're talking about. What we're quite sure that he should have said is love yourself, take care of yourself, accept yourself as you are. So we ask the question again, did God really say all have fallen short? All have sinned and fall short? Did he really say, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me? Did God really say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? But the problem, of course, is education, it's ignorance, inequality. The real problem is all these outdated doctrines and primitive superstitions. Did God really say all of our righteousness is like a polluted garment? Did God really say, apart from me, you can do nothing? Did God really say you and I are slaves to sin? That we're dead in trespasses in our sins? And that the wages of our sin is death? Did God really say all of that? Yeah. Even with the fruit in our ears, we can hear our hearts breaking. We can feel our hearts breaking. Our eyes can really clearly behold the grief and the guilt in our society today. See, abortion access hasn't solved any problems. Instead, what it's done is multiplied suffering. Assisted suicide hasn't made pain go away. It's actually just rearranged it in a different way. This culture of death has actually raised rates of depression, chemical dependency, domestic violence, relationship breakdown, and suicide. It's left over 1.5 billion human beings dead worldwide. 60 million of them in our own United States. Untold others, the other victims of this, walk among us wounded and haunted. None of these acts has ever spared one single soul from the misery that afflicts each and every one of us. So isn't it time to take the fruit out? Isn't it time to let the fruit just fall out? Isn't it time to just listen to what God has to say? See, our Lord has the perfect implement to remove the fruit from our ears. He's got the perfect thing. You can see it in Isaiah. He comes carrying an arrow of sorts, a sword, if you will. See, like the tip of a spear, Jesus Christ verifies the image and the honor of God once and for all. Like the head of a pin, Jesus validates how humankind reflects and embodies His likeness. Jesus is actually God's implement to take the bad fruit away and to turn up the volume, if you will, on God's love. Jesus turns up the volume on what His fingers formed and what His heart's will has brought forth. See, God really did say in and from the mother's womb. He actually Himself inhabited the belly of the Virgin Mary. Emmanuel, God with us, shows that His work of creating actually proclaims every member of the human race as someone special and loved by God. And that includes the very least of these, the weakened ones, the little ones, the broken, the lowly as well. And God really did say that Jesus Christ died in your place. That no matter what you have done, the only healing you and I can find is in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Laying our sins at the foot of that cross, where He came as a human being, where Jesus Christ, God and man, dies on the cross for us, that He became obedient even unto death, even death on the cross for you and for me, and for the sins of the whole world. He died in our place and for our sakes, from embryo to elderly. From womb to tomb, Jesus died for us. And now, as His children, we are declared righteous. We are priceless. We are innocent. We are His holy children. He loves you and me so much. He is Lord of death and life. Every circumstance is under His control entirely. See, Jesus is not only the Savior of our soul, but He's also the Savior of our situation, of our circumstances. Jesus' labor of redeeming, what He did for us, proves that every life is precious. See, the gospel actually puts the good fruit where it belongs. Fruit doesn't belong stuck in our ears, right? Fruit doesn't go in our ears, doesn't get bottled up in our hearts. Fruit goes in the mouth. And the fruit of truth not only goes into the mouth, but it comes out of the mouth. And we speak truth, the truth that there is forgiveness and life and salvation for all who believe. And that no sin is too great for Jesus to forgive. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is unbelief, and that makes sense. God forgives. He forgives you. He forgives me for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the harvest. The Lord who comes and takes away the sin of the world for our sake. So what a privilege we have. What a delight we have, actually, as we partake of the fruit of the gospel, of the fruit of His word, to be able to speak that word of forgiveness, life, and salvation to those around us, to those who have made tough decisions, or decisions that were all too easy, or to those who are about to make decisions. One of the biggest tenets we have as people who are for life is that God wants to have the ultimate decision over life and death. And that's true for everybody, from womb to tomb. And we can speak that truth wherever we can. God calls on us to do that. And what a privilege it is to partake with God in the fruit that actually moves the children of men from death, not being able to hear, all the way to life. Life in Him, in His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.